Hi, welcome to Lighthouse Vineyard Church. Thank you for joining us. If you would like to know more about us, feel free to visit us online at lighthousevineyard.church. Enjoy the message.
Been a Christian since I was 22, and then moved down here to Florida when I was 30. Met my husband, and went on to have four wonderful, amazing boys. I heard about Christ Fellowship from actually a friend of mine, and it was very small back then. It was 25 years ago. And I started going, and then my husband started going, and then our four kids started going. For the last 5 years, I've done the 21 days of fasting. And 2 years ago, it really had a new significance to me because I received the devastating news that I was diagnosed with lung cancer. When I had the PET scan, I got the phone call from my oncologist that said that it came back positive, but not just positive, it came back hypermetabolic with very, very high values. I was devastated. I knew that I could very well die, that my kids and my husband would see me slowly waste away. The first thing I knew I had to do, I had to call my husband and I had to tell him that we had to tell our kids. And I knew that no matter what, God was not going to leave me. After my diagnosis, of course, the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to go to Christ Fellowship, and I wanted them to pray with me. And so they actually anointed me with oil also and prayed for healing. We were doing the 21 days of fasting, and it was also the year of miracles. Pastor Todd, I remember him saying that. This is the year of miracles. And I actually prayed all day long. And of course, praying for his healing, if that was part of his will. I said, Lord, I know you can heal me. Through my trial with lung cancer, they were very dark, dark thoughts, thoughts of fear. And so one night, after just wrestling with these thoughts, I sat up in bed. I said in a very loud voice, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. And they left. When I was waiting in the pre-op room and my husband and I were praying again, and then they wheeled me in. The next thing I remember was the amazing part. I remember them saying, Karen, breathe, breathe. And everything was very foggy. And my surgeon was speechless. And I said, did you get it all? Did you get it all? That's the first thing I wanted to know. And my husband and the doctor said it was gone. When they opened me up, the mass was gone. It was just the most amazing, beautiful thing in the world. The doctors were in a state of belief. I was like a celebrity. I had more doctors coming to see me every day, asking me if I had been anywhere to any foreign lands or if I'd done any traveling, because they were convinced this had to be something. Tumors just don't disappear. They were trying to explain and try to figure out what could it be? And then finally, this one doctor looked right at me and he goes, you got a miracle. This year is going to be an amazing year. I think we're going to see more and more people come to Christ. But we all need to make sure that we are walking testimonies for what he can do in our lives. So I can't wait to do it again.
It's a pretty powerful video, isn't it? Yeah. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Matt. I'm a pastor here at the church. And if I'm being honest with you, there was a season of my life where I would have watched a video like that and like dismissed it. I would have maybe not believed that like it really happened, or maybe I didn't believe that it happened like that drastically, her healing, right? And so there may be some people in the room that have had those doubts in the past. Maybe there's some people that have them now. But for me, that was a season of my life. I can confidently tell you now that I'm past that. And the reason that I'm past that is several reasons. One is I've seen other stories like that. I've witnessed other healings. But I've also read through scriptures, and the more trust that I have in the scriptures, the more that I believe that healings like that can happen. And so, looking at the scriptures, I'm going to kind of take you through my process. Like, what the scriptures, what we've seen in the New Testament from Jesus, and how those scriptures then kind of align to us today. And so to start, I want to talk about Jesus himself. If you look through the Gospels of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are 26 different instances of healing that Jesus did himself. 26 different instances. Some of them are maybe they may happen in different Gospels. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are basically the same story. So some of them happen in different in one sub, but if you filter them out, there are 26 of them. Now, that also doesn't mean that just 26 people got healed by Jesus. Some of them, some instances, like there's one that talks about Jesus healing 10 lepers. So multiple people got healed. But I looked through those 26 instances. That's an easy word to say, instances. And I took some stats. So here are the stats of Jesus' healings. He healed 11 lepers, 6 blind people, 5 demon-possessed, 3 people that were deaf or muted, that means they couldn't talk or hear, or both. He healed, raised 3 people from the dead. He healed 3 people that were paralyzed. He healed 2 people that I labeled as crippled. One was a hand, like she had like a curled hand that he straightened, and there was a woman that had like, I would call it osteoporosis, where they're bent over, but it was straightened. There were 2 of those, 2 crippled people, and 2 general healings, which is like flu type stuff, like people that had fevers that he healed. And then there was a bleeding woman. There was an epileptic boy. There was a man that had severe swelling. And then the last healing that Jesus had was Malchus. Malchus is the man that, I believe it's Peter, when Jesus is getting arrested, and Peter gets mad and he whacks his ear off with the sword, and Jesus says, hey, no, stop, and Jesus healed his ear. And so Jesus even healed somebody that is arresting him. And so those are the 26 instances that happened, but that doesn't even include all of the healings. In Matthew chapter 4, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Healing every disease and sickness. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and then this part. He healed all of them, all of them. Later on in Matthew chapter 8, it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and, again, healed all the sick. Healed all the sick. And so I would argue, I don't know the exact numbers, I don't think anybody knows the exact numbers, but I would argue that Jesus healed thousands of people during his time. Jesus was a healer. But we have to know something about Jesus' healing. So all those, if we didn't just assume that it's thousands, right? All of the thousands of people that Jesus healed, he didn't heal any of them until he got the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, it kind of explains this process. It says, you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And so Jesus, right, it references when John the Baptist, when he baptized him, and Jesus was then filled with the Holy Spirit. Once he was filled in the Holy Spirit, that's when he essentially started his ministry, which was teaching and also his healing. And so none of Jesus' healings happened before he had the Holy Spirit. And then as Jesus does his teachings, right, we all are probably familiar with that he had 12 disciples, 12 people following him. And there were actually some more that were kind of on the fringes, people that were following him. He was teaching. And then Jesus gave his power, his authority to heal to those disciples. Matthew chapter 7 said, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Luke chapter 9 says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So here's Jesus. He gets the power of the Holy Spirit. He uses that power to heal, and then he gives that same power to his disciples, to the people that are following him. Even after he was dead and resurrected, before he went to heaven. So Jesus in the tomb, he comes out of the tomb, he raises from the dead, and then he visits his disciples. And this is, so one of the last things that he's telling his disciples is this. In John chapter 20, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is giving them the power that he has, because Jesus knows I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to be here. You guys get the power. You get the power. And so you might be saying, okay, well, that was during Jesus' time. That was over 2,000 years ago, right? Around 2,000 years ago. What about now? Well, that same power that Jesus gave to the disciples, he also gave to us. In Mark chapter 10, it says this, Jesus said to them, he's talking to the disciples, he said to them, but if we take this scripture as the breathing, living word of God, think of it being to us. So Jesus said to us, right? You and me. You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. So that Holy Spirit, that cup, you will drink the same cup that I drink from. You will be able to do the same things that I did. The same water that I was baptized with, we get to be baptized with that as well. Jesus is giving us the authority. He's giving us the power. And then this might be my favorite verse of talking about how the power that Jesus had, how he gives it to us. It's from John chapter 14, verse 12. This is the words of Jesus. It says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So, right? Whoever believes in me, that's us. Could be us, right? If we believe in Jesus, that's us. That's not just the disciples. That's us. Whoever believes in me, you will do the things that I have done, and you will even do greater things than I have done. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to heal just like Jesus did. Jesus was born. Power went to him. He gave it to the disciples. He gave it to us. The power of the Holy Spirit is a healing power. Hold that thought for a second. We are in a series called Empowered, where we're talking about that, the power of the Holy Spirit. And each week we are going to talk about a different power of the Holy Spirit. This week we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit as a healer. And there are many aspects of healing, but we're going to look at a verse, a couple verses of scripture from the book of James that talks about healing. I think there's some things that we can take from that scripture and apply it to us right now in 2023 on how we can be healed and how we can also heal. And so we're going to be in James chapter 5. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can. It will also be on the screen, and it might even be in your handout this week. But I don't know that. I don't have a handout with me. It is. Okay, good. So James chapter 5, we're going to read verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 starts, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. And so again, I think we can take, there are three things that are on your handout that I think we can take from the scripture. Is it an exhaustive list about all the healing? No, but I think if we take these things from the scripture, it'll help us receive healing, and it'll also help us to be able to like help heal. And so we're going to dig into those. But first, let me pray. So God, we thank you so much. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for giving him the Holy Spirit. And then also, Jesus, well, yeah, we know you're at the right hand of God. We just thank you for passing that down to us. And so as we talk about your scriptures today, God, we just ask that you, you just download what you want to us. Let my words be your words this morning, God. Teach us about how you want us to heal. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the title of today's message, I didn't tell you that, it's just called The Spirit of Healing. And again, I'm going to tell you three things that I think we can take from the James scripture that will help. It will help with the healing. And the first one is this. If we want healing, we should take initiative. Take initiative. James 5, verse 14 says, is any one of you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with the oil in the name of the Lord. And so it's that part. Let them call. If you're sick, right? We can make it our own. If you're sick, then you call on the elders. You go do it. You take the initiative. Let them call the elders of the church. It has to do with you wanting it. Do you want the healing? If yes, then go and get it. Go and ask for it. There's a story in scripture. It's in John chapter 5. I'll read a little bit of it here. But there's this pool. I believe it's in the town of Bethsaida. They call it the Bethsaida or Bethsaida, however you say that. There's a pool, but the pool is a healing. They think it has healing powers. And so a bunch of people that are crippled and lame and need healing, they surround themselves with this pool. And then at certain times it bubbles up and they jump in and they receive healing. I don't know, and scripture doesn't say if it actually comes true or if they just believe that. If you've seen The Chosen, this is depicted there where they jump in the pool. When the time comes, they jump in the pool. Well, there's a man there. He's an invalid, which basically means he's paralyzed. He can't walk. And Jesus confronts him. And here is that confrontation. Here's that story. It says, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him this. He said, do you want to get well? And he said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. But it's that question, do you want to get well? This man said, yes, he did. And so then Jesus healed him. But it's the initiative there. Well, do you want it? Yeah, I do. Yes, I want it. That's the initiative. That want, that is the initiative. And so if you want to be healed, you've got to want it. You've got to want it. Let them call the elders. It doesn't say, let me call the elders. Let them call the elders. If you want the healing, call the elders. Just kind of as a side note, but part of it reinforces this point. We have a healing prayer team at the church. And as a healing prayer, we don't necessarily go out and seek out like, oh, do you need healing prayer? Do you need it? Do you need it? We put the initiative kind of on the church and say, hey, if you want it, we're here and come and get it. And we don't do that because we don't have the time or we don't want to do the healing prayer, we're trying to be rude or anything. We do that because there's more power in people coming. If you want it, if you take that initiative, the healing prayer is a lot more successful because you want it. So you have to take the initiative. If you want healing prayer, if you want healing, take initiative. That is point one. Point two is this. If you want healing, if we want healing, we should call on those who are gifted in healing. Call on those who are gifted in healing. And so healing is a spiritual gift. Some of us have it, some of us don't. I don't even know if I have it, to be honest with you. I don't know if I have that spiritual gift, but it's a gift. There's a lot of spiritual gifts. If you know Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have a spiritual gift, which, by the way, in a few weeks, one of the powers of the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about is spiritual gifts. And so that's happening in a few weeks here. But we all have it. If we have the Holy Spirit, we know Jesus, we have a spiritual gift. It may be healing. It may not be healing, but you have something. But the spiritual gifts are described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So that, the manifestation of the Spirit. So to each one of us, we're given the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Well, the manifestation of the Spirit means it's like the practical part. It's not just like the Spirit. It's like, okay, you have the Spirit. Now go do this with the Spirit. It's the manifestation. It's making it human. And so because of that manifestation of the Spirit, we can do these things. That's what that first sentence is telling us there, that first verse. It says, "To one there is given the Spirit of a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the Spirit," and then here it says, "to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit." Then it goes on and it lists more, or are these other gifts? And then the last one, verse 11 says this. It says, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." And so I share that verse with the spiritual gifts, because if you want healing prayer, having somebody that has the gift of healing increases your chance to be healed. It just does. Because some people have the gift and others, they may not. And so you'd say, okay, well, what do I do? How do I know this? So people don't carry around a sign that says, "I have the gift of healing," right? I've never seen anybody do that. But what can we do? If you want healing prayer, get healing prayer from a group of people. Get it from a group of people. It's just odds, right? It's just numbers. The more people you have praying for you, the better odds that they have the spiritual gift, right? It's better odds. So that's one thing that I know it sounds a little bit silly, but you can do that. You can do that. I will tell you this about spiritual gifts. This is just 100% totally me. This isn't scriptural. I didn't get like this revelation from God. This is my opinion. So take it for what it's worth. But I feel like the spiritual gift of healing is more widely distributed than some of the spiritual gifts. The reason I think that is because you can't do, quote unquote, damage with them. So let me give you an example, if I can think of one. Wisdom. If you get the spiritual gift, I'll use tongues because tongues kind of freaks us out sometimes. I feel like if you have those spiritual gifts, if they get it, they're spiritual gifts, so they're coming from God, so take this with a grain of salt. But if they get in the wrong hands, damage can be done with that. I'll use a better one, discernment. Discernment is a spiritual gift. Some people can abuse discernment. You can abuse discernment. You see what I'm saying? Like, oh, here's what I'm thinking. And it could be way off base, and it could really do some damage. Does that make sense? The spirit of healing, the gift of healing, I don't think it can. So if you don't have the spirit of healing, but yet you pray for somebody to get healing, guess what? Healing just may not happen. Make sense? I think you can do less damage. So because you can do less damage, I would argue that more people probably have the gift. So when we talk about finding somebody that has the gift to pray, get people, like, more people probably have it than realize they have it. Makes sense? Again, my opinion, take it for what it's worth. So, you want healing prayer, get with a group of people, find somebody that has that. Here's the thing, if you have the spiritual gift of healing, use it. Use it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So if you know you have the spiritual gift of healing, man, use it. Use it. Before I move on to point three, here's a second. If you don't have the spiritual gift of healing and you want it, ask for it. God will give you gifts. If he deems you worthy of that gift or whatever, you can ask for it and get it. I've asked for certain gifts that I feel like I've gotten. So if you're saying, well, I don't know if I have it, or, oh man, I don't have it, but I want it, ask for it. God may give it to you. So ask for it. But anyway, that's point two. If we want healing, we should call on those who are gifted in healing. And the third point, which I believe may be the most powerful point of receiving healing prayer, and it's this. If we want healing, we should believe that we can be healed. Believe that we can be healed. James 5:15 says, and a prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And so when we believe, right, that's the faith. It's the faith. I have faith that I can be healed. A prayer offered in faith, a prayer offered in belief, and that person can be healed. And so faith happens kind of on both ends. If you want healing, you have to believe that it can happen. But if you also have that gift, or you're praying for somebody that wants healing, then you've got to believe that it can happen as well. You've got to believe, you've got to have faith. I think faith is the key word. If we look back at some of Jesus' healings back in the Gospels, faith was a huge, huge thing. Matthew chapter 8, there's going to be several of these. I'm going to list them quick. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. And then later on it says, then he went and said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. His servant was healed in that moment. In Matthew chapter 9, it says, Jesus turned and saw her. Take your daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed in that moment. Matthew chapter 15 said, Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Her request was granted. Her daughter was healed in that moment. Mark chapter 10 says, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Luke chapter 18 says, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. Luke chapter 19 said, Jesus said to him, raise, go, your faith has made you well. You get the picture? Your faith has healed you. This isn't even all the instances where Jesus says your faith has healed you. If we want to be healed, we have to believe that it can happen. I feel like this. So when healing happens, right, we can get prayed for, or for the healed, pray, like we can intercede. We get healed on God's will, right? If we get healed on God's will. But if we're praying for somebody to heal, or if we're getting prayer, we should have so much faith that if healing doesn't happen, we're disappointed. That's how high your faith should be. That if you go into a healing session and you come out and you're not healed, you should be disappointed. That means you have faith. The last thing we talk about healing, there are big things that can be healed, and there are small things that can be healed. God can heal a hangnail, or God can heal a heart. Maybe have a, on my heart, I mean your physical heart. God can heal cancer. God can heal a relationship. Now, it's maybe not physical, but God, there's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing that God can't heal. The story, I think her name was Karen, her story. They opened her up, and the cancer was gone. Not because the doctors removed it, because God did. God can heal the big, and God can heal the small. And so we started with a story from Florida, from Karen. And we're going to end with a story, but not from Florida, not from California. We're going to end with a story from Lighthouse Vineyard Church. I'm going to invite Danny up. So Danny, several weeks ago, I guess it's been a couple months now, in February, he'll tell you the date. But he had a significant healing that took place. And again, it didn't take place in Florida. It took place right in that room right there, 30 feet from here. And so we talk about how healing can take place, or it can be big or small, and it can take place anywhere. I'm going to let Danny share his healing story.
Hey, guys. As Matt said, my name's Danny. So to get into the story, on February 19th in the morning, I woke up experiencing some abdominal pain. I thought that maybe I had slept wrong. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. I started to notice that the pain was progressively getting worse and stronger, and I wasn't getting any better. So my next road trip was a trip to the emergency room, like anybody wants to take, right? So went ahead and took that road trip. They did x-rays, they did CAT scans, and I got some good sleep after that from the drugs they gave me. It was fantastic, right? Until I had started to get more consciousness, and they said, hey, we found two kidney stones, and they need to be passed. I was told due to the size, I should try passing them within the next week if possible. Now, if any of you have had kidney stones, you can't really just say, be gone, you know? At least I had thought, right? So this process goes on after February 19th for about a week. And throughout the week, my pain was fluctuating. It would get better, then it would get worse. But what was consistent is these stones were not coming out. Fast forward to the next Sunday morning on February 26th, and everything was fine. Pain wasn't crazy until about 15 minutes before second service here at Lighthouse. The pain that I felt was the pain that I was experiencing before I went to the emergency room last week.
So I'm going to show him a picture. So he talks about his pain. I don't know if you've ever had kidney stones. I've never had them. I've heard it's worse than childbirth. Just people have said that. I'm just saying people say that. It's probably true. Probably true. No, but it's really painful. So we took a screenshot of the video of that. So there's Danny on the left, and I wanted to use you to describe the pain he was in. Here's a close-up of it. You can't really see it great in the picture, but you look at his left leg. His left leg is up on the bench behind him. We actually brought that bench in because we thought he'd have to sit down because he was in so much pain, but he didn't. He stood up, pressed through, but his left leg is up to try to get more comfort, right? I don't play the keys. If anybody, that is not, playing keys with your left leg up is not like a special technique. He's got it up because he's in pain. He's in a lot of pain. So I just wanted to show you that to prove, like, he's in pain. Go for it, Danny.
We got the receipts to prove, you know. that service had rolled on by. And after that picture had happened, I went into this room right onto the side over here, and I just collapsed. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to think. I just wanted to sit there and figure out, like, what do I have to do to make this go away? I just didn't want to do it at this point. Over time, I had about 5 people come around me in a little bit of period of time. And in that, it was Matt, Esther, Emma, Jeff, and Rick. They ended up just praying over me. And we spent not the whole time praying, but we spent about 20, 30 minutes just talking about the subject and praying within that time. And there were 3 different times we had prayed. The first time we prayed for the Lord to just come into the situation, be it my pain level, setting up appointments, or maybe the doctor's coming back with next steps. The second time was a real critical one for me, and you know Matt hit it on in his message. But the second time, somebody in the circle had asked me, you know, do you believe that God would want to heal you? And you know, it's easier said than done to say yes, right? I think we all would want to say yes, like, of course, you know, we just sang about God who was a way maker, you know. But I had to honestly answer this question before I had to verbally tell him, like, yeah, of course. Because there was something inside of me that I needed to confront and tell it that, yes, that God is going to do it. It was encouraging the people around me that would believe that God would physically heal me in an instance. All I could think about was the Father in Mark 9, when he comes and asks for Jesus to heal his son, and his son's like in a horrible demon possession, but Jesus tells him all things are possible for the one who believes. Right? The father immediately says, I believe, but help my unbelief. So this was my moment. This is my moment where like the father had where, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So we prayed for my disbelief, and I received and accepted the Lord could heal me in that very moment and that he would. Now, after I said that prayer, nothing happened. But my spirit was already feeling a shift in the atmosphere. I was content because I knew God loved me. I knew he cared for me. I knew just because it didn't happen right then and there that he had something against me or that just wasn't going to happen. I think my spirit needed to have that more so than anything. And then the bonus happened. Somebody had said, did we ever call out for a kidney stone? No, we didn't. So, of course, we go back to prayer a third time, and we called it out for a kidney stone in Jesus' name to be gone. Guys, in that moment, it was healed. It was gone. Right? Hallelujah. Yeah. The Lord had healed me, and that's my testimony on that.
Yeah. Thank you, Danny. Like you said, that was a couple months ago, and he's still no pain since then. It's not like, oh, it shifted and he was good for a day or two. Like, it's gone. It was healed. And so as we look at that story, go back to our three things. Initiative. There was initiative there. When Danny said he came in and I collapsed, like, I know Rick was there. I think everybody's in the room. Jeff is in here. Esther's here. Like, he collapsed on the floor. He was in pain. Like, boom, I'm down. And he cried out and like, this has got to end. Like, that was the initiative. That was the initiative. And then he talked about his faith, right? Until I really believed I was going to be healed, nothing happened. He shifted. I think he used that word shifted. Something shifted. It was his faith. He believed he could be healed. And then the power of the people in there. Again, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit. There were four of us in there, I believe, that were praying. One of us had the power of healing. In this moment, I don't know to be true. I think it was Rick. When he said, Rick called out, hey, we haven't said what we're praying against, like specifically. When he to me, in that moment, that was Rick having the anointment of healing in that moment. So those three things were present and healing took place. And again, I would argue the number one thing is the belief. Faith that you can be healed. Faith that you can be healed. And so those are the three things. Let me find them, right? We got to want it. You got to take initiative. We need to surround ourselves with somebody that has the power of healing, and we have to believe that we can be healed. And so to close us out today, Pastor Clint.
Well, that's it for today's message. We hope we helped you know God more intimately. If you feel our ministry is helping you spiritually, feel free to find out more about us at lighthouseofinner.church. Thank you for being part of our family, and we will see you next time.